This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to Peak Northwest, an outdoors and travel podcast by the Oregonian and Oregon Live, dedicated to the adventure and exploration of our beautiful Pacific Northwest. I'm Jamie Hale.
And I'm Vicki Connor. Together, we take you to some of the most beautiful and interesting destinations in our region, discussing where to go, what to do, and places to see. And today, we're here to help you with your spring break travel plans with a few places to relax along the Oregon coast.
When people hear the words spring break, they naturally think of the beach. And while Oregon's beaches are not like Cabo or anything, they're still some of the best and most beloved spring break destinations in the region.
Yeah, I don't think of anyone like having a crazy rager spring break on the Oregon coast, or, you know, I'm not trying to dampen your plans if that is what you want to do. But I think of it as a little bit more of a low key spring break, or, you know, your kid friendly spring break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's probably more of what we're talking about. I mean, you can party on the beach and people do, they really do. But yeah, it's less of sort of like your sunny beach destination and more of your hangout by the ocean beach destination. Like my partner talks about the difference between going to the beach and going to the coast, right? When she thinks of going to the beach, she thinks of like going somewhere warm where you can like wear a bathing suit and like go into the water. And the going to the coast is more like, you know, putting on your jacket and like, you know, doing some rock hounding, like looking at some cool nature. It's a different kind of experience.
Yes. Yeah. But enjoyable nonetheless. Lots of beaches, obviously, on the coast. And luckily, we have our resident expert, beach expert, I should say, Jamie Hale, to break down some of his favorites.
The background here is that I, a few years ago, decided that I would go to all of the, like, publicly accessible beaches on the Oregon coast to do like a series of guides. And I did that. It took a few years to do. COVID interrupted it and all that. But after I did that, I, you know, said, well, let's make a list of like the 30 best beaches. And obviously that's subjective. It, you know, what does the best mean to you? I think a lot of people sort of have like their favorite spots where they go every year. And for them, that's the best beach. Like my family went to Nesquin like every year growing up. And I love Nesquin. And it is on this list of 30, but I wouldn't like put in my top 10 best beaches. So when I'm talking about like what makes a best beach, you know, it's got to have some element of like really cool nature or like, you know, really accessible, you know, stuff like campgrounds, parking lots, that kind of thing, or like really good rock hounding or something. You know, it's got to have a really good something, but also be like a good beach. So not just like all cobblestones. I don't know that I consider a cobblestone beach a beach, to be honest. I think it's just a bunch of rocks by the ocean. So we don't have a lot of that here. I took my list of 30 and narrowed it down to 10, which is tough to do. So obviously some great stuff left off. Vicki, you've been here a few years now. I feel like you've definitely been to some of these spots.
Yeah, I feel like I've been to at least like half of these spots that we have planned to talk about. And I am a sucker for pretty much anywhere on the coast, but oh my gosh, some of these places when I went there for the first time, really just mind-blowing beauty. And I am never disappointed when I go on the coast, but especially at these beaches that we'll get into here. I also, it's funny, I think of this list, it's almost like you can compare it to our food critic's top 40 restaurant review mm-hmm. that he just came out with this week. It's like, you know, some of it's subjective, yes, but why not put them in order of our favorites?
And just like that list, you may hear this and go, oh my God, how could you not include whatever? Which, you know, just like reading Michael Russell's top restaurant list, I was like, no pasta ficio d'oro, the best pasta in Portland? How dare you? I almost texted him and was like, how could you leave off pasta ficio? I was like, that's not what you want to hear. That's a downer, I think, to text one after they put out a list like that. So, you know, definitely feel free to have your opinions about the top 10 beaches. They're not in any kind of order. Just 10 really good beaches. Just don't text me about it tomorrow.
All right. So I guess we'll start, you know, North Coast and then make our way down.
Yeah.
So first one we'll start off with is Fort Stevens.
Fort Stevens is a classic. It's a big beach, big state park. It's got just so many amenities there. Obviously a huge campground. A lot of like actual beach. There's the historical park. There's the military batteries, right? There's the jetty, which you can go out to. I mean, there's just like so many things to do there. Like if you're like a family who wants to spend some time at the beach and have a lot of different kinds of natural attractions and historical attractions to do in that one spot, you can really spend a full spring break week just hanging out at Fort Stevens. So highly, highly recommend it. I feel like the yurts and cabins at Fort Stevens are definitely booked up, but I think you can probably find some campsites still there this time of year. But just an incredible spot to go.
Yeah, this is one that I visited on one of our past Peak Northwest video episodes. And even in like, you know, the quote unquote bad weather when it's downpouring rain, we got a cabin. It was super cozy. Still walked along the beach even in the rain. And it was a lovely time. So if you do manage to somehow snag a reservation for one of those cabins or yurts, you're going to have a great time, even if the weather is kind of crappy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. March on the coast, it's, I mean, it could be beautiful. It could be sunny and gorgeous and nice. And it could rain and it could do both. So camping is a real iffy proposition. I think that's what a lot of folks do. RVs, you have to have a real good tarp game, you know, to stay dry out there. So, you know, I think some day trips to the coast might work better if the weather is not great. And Fort Stevens, thankfully, is a pretty good and easy day trip from Portland.
So moving on down, going south, of course, we cannot not mention Cannon Beach.
Cannon Beach, right? I mean, people like to be like, oh, Cannon Beach is so overrated or whatever. Like they're too cool for Cannon Beach. That beach, just talking about the beach, forget the town. The beach itself is incredible.
Oh yeah,
Haystack Rock is like just a beautiful geological formation. I mean, and the beach is long and wide. It's so easy to walk on. Beautiful sunsets there. The sunset over Haystack Rock at Cannon Beach.
Oh my gosh.
You can't beat that. That's some like A+ stuff there. So, I mean, you say what you will about the Cannon Beach and the restaurants and the lodging. It's an incredible place to go spend a day at the beach.
Yeah, I think it was like just a few weekends ago. The weather was really nice for, you know, end of January, early February. Got in time over to the beach right before sunset and golden hour, and it was glorious. It does not hurt that it's, you know, an hour, 25 minutes from Portland. So you can mm-hmm. really make it over there super quick, even if you're just doing a day trip during your spring break.
And pro tip here, and we've talked about this on previous episodes, but the bus from Portland, Cannon Beach, very convenient. If you don't want to drive, worry about parking, or like you don't have to worry about, you know, if your kids take the car seat, you can get the bus in the morning, go out to Cannon Beach, get in the evening, come back, or spend in the night there or something like that. It's a great option to have.
All right. Moving further down south, we got Cape Mears Beach.
Yeah, this is like my low-key chill beach that I go to. So, I mean, Cannon Beach, obviously, big town, all this stuff. Cape Mears Beach is like, it's a little hidden, it's a little tucked away. The parking lot's like tiny, but it's not always full. This is like just due west of Tillamook. So if you're driving out to Cote, like a lot of times I do, and you're going through Tillamook State Forest, and you just kind of keep going through the town of Tillamook out to the ocean. Just at the foot of Cape Mears on the north side is a little beach there that kind of goes along Bay Ocean Spit to the north. So it's a really, really lovely, beautiful beach. I love the sunsets there. There's some like nice cliffs that the light plays on when it sets into the water. And it's usually pretty chill and quiet. So this is like my spot I want to go to if I want to just like relax and have like a lone solo walk on the beach. Yeah. I just need to like get out to the ocean, recharge. I love going out to Cape Mears Beach.
I have not heard of this one. Is this one after you wrote your story, people were like, oh, I can't believe you told people about Cape Mears?
I mean, that applies to like literally everything I write. So yes, sure. I'm sure they did. And I do think this beach might get a little bit more crowded now because right at that point at Cape Mears, there's a road. The road they take to get out to this beach splits off and goes up to Cape Mears and connects out to like Oceanside. It's part of the Three Capes scenic route. And that road, a connection right there at the north side of Cape Mears, was closed for a long time, but it just reopened. So I do think more people are going to be driving this particular road. And so I do wonder if this beach is going to get more crowded just because it's going to see more vehicular traffic. But if you get there kind of in the off season or a weekday, well, I've driven just again, straight through the Coast Range out there, like on a Wednesday evening and just stayed for sunset. And it's been a lovely, lovely opportunity.
Moving on down, we got Sitka Sedge, which is also one that I have been to. And yeah, I love Sitka Sedge because of the great hiking trails that lead you right out to the beach.
Exactly. That's the appeal, right? It's like, this is the beach where if you want to like have a small adventure on your way to the beach, see a little forest, maybe go some mushroom foraging, see some wetlands, some wildflowers. You know, it's not a super long hike to the beach. And it's all pretty flat, but it's just a fun little small adventure to get there. And the beach itself is also quite good, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The beach was really great. And I think I was there during 4th of July weekend, and it was pretty empty.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of, I think it's the newest state park site, if I remember that correctly. It just opened, 5 or 6 years ago, I want to say at this point. So it's a little bit under the radar. And because it doesn't have direct beach access, I think fewer people think to go there. But it's a really great spot. So it's just on the north side of Cape Kiwanda. And people know about the south side of Cape Kiwanda. You can hike up that big sand dune, see those really beautiful sandstone bluffs. But the north side is a little bit, it's just sort of all beach. So you get kind of a view down towards the rocks to the south when you're at the Sitka Sedge Beach. But you also, again, have all of that forest, you know, all of those wetlands. There's so much, such a diversity of nature in this one little park.
Yeah, this was one also that was super, super dog friendly in that hiking area, in that wetlands area leading to the beach. They had a bunch of different like doggy stations, and Stella loved trudging through the trails. And then I think she was even super psyched to see it lead out to the beach. She definitely got zoomies.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I feel that way too. Emerging onto the beach, like, and just get to run out there.
You just sprint around.
I mean, I would never sprint personally, but I, you know, in my heart, I'm sprinting around. So moving down from the North Coast to the Central Coast now, we've got a couple of beaches on there. So the Central Coast in general is a bit rockier, fewer good beach opportunities in general. There's a couple of really good ones. And the first one I want to highlight is Beverly Beach. Vicky, have you been at Beverly Beach?
You know, the name sounds super familiar. I feel like I've maybe driven by it. I can't remember ever actually going on to Beverly Beach.
Beverly Beach is great. It's another one of these sort of like big built up state campground kind of situation. So a really big campground, really popular day use area. So this is definitely a beach you're going to see other people. So some folks avoid it for that reason. But if you go when it's a little bit quieter, or you go, you know, and just, you know, get a good campground reservation, you can walk out the beach from there. It's just a really nice, good, solid beach. Like, we're thinking about just like going to the beach. Beverly Beach is it, you know, it's not huge, but it's like big enough. You know, there's some good scenery, but it's not like, you know, super magnificent cliffs and all that. But this is also a good spot. I think what puts it over the top for me is the opportunity to do like fossil and agate hunting. So this is like one of the spots that's known for like fossils washing up on the beach. I found some cool stuff there. Like a fossilized snail shell embedded into a rock. I found a really cool like quarter-sized agate there once that was like full of these swirling patterns. You can just sort of, you know, walk along the cliffs behind the beach and see stuff like, you know, shells embedded into the rock there. Very cool spot. Obviously, you know, if you want to do any of that stuff, do it responsibly and safely. But you can find all kinds of stuff washing up on the beach there. And it kind of stretches down for a while. So if you want to get away from the crowds too, very, very easy to do.
Oh my gosh. Do you know why it is a particularly good spot for fossils and agates?
You know, I don't know the technical reasons why. It's all very scientific, I'm sure. Some sort of geological formations and stuff. it's just the type of rock and sediment and stuff they have there just is such that it creates this opportunity. I don't know if it's like, you know, fossils that are everywhere are breaking apart and more readily available, or like there's more fossils here in other places. But I think it has to do just with rock content, essentially, that is there. It's not as much lava rock like you see in some beaches, and it's, I think, more sandstone. So you're able to see more stuff that kind of breaks apart and washes ashore.
So also on the Central Coast, we've got Nye Beach.
Nye Beach is my favorite beach in Newport. So Newport, which I think is probably the best like town on the Oregon coast. It's certainly one of the biggest. There's a lot to do, obviously, in Newport. The aquarium, Ripley's Believe It or Not, the sea lions down in the historic waterfront, all the restaurants. But if you got like, sort of on the north side of town is the Nye Beach neighborhood, where there's you've got the Sylvia Beach Hotel, which is a famous literary themed hotel, as well as some really good restaurants just in that little neighborhood. And the beach there is just, again, it's a really good, solid beach. You know what I mean? I don't know how to describe it any other way, but it's just like, it's good beach. You know it when you see it.
Jamie, I have to interrupt you just because it sounds like a Barbie reference when Ken is like, my job is beach.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got the Oscars coming up. I'm channeling my inner Ryan Gosling here. But it's not just the beach there, I think. It's that proximity to so much good stuff. So again, we're kind of looking at beaches that are either, you know, great for the natural opportunities, but there's some like this that are really great for the, you know, the restaurants, the hotels, the attractions that are nearby. So I think having a good beach that is like, you know, within walking distance to all of these things it's a different kind of experience. So as you're hearing these are different kinds of spring break beach experiences. So, I mean, you could be a person who wants to go out, get a hotel room, spend a week out there. You could be someone who wants to just take a day trip out to the beach. And so, you know, consider that when you're hearing about these different kinds of beaches.
So as we continue down south, obviously we got the South Coast to hit up. And this is probably my favorite stretch along the coast. And there's so many good beaches here. Where should we start within the South Coast?
How do you pick? It's crazy. The first one on my list was, it's hard to say one beach because this is kind of an area that has a lot of different beaches along the coastline, but Coquille Point. This is in Bandon, on just sort of the south side of Bandon. And Coquille Point is this, like, you know, big sort of rock formation that kind of juts out onto and over the beach. And below it, there are some really, really cool beaches. Table Rock kind of area, the South Jetty at Bandon, and then Face Rock Beach, which is such a great spot. This is where Circles in the Sand happens. We've talked about that event so many times. Circles in the Sand aside, it's a really, really, really beautiful beach. There's, especially at sunset, I've walked down the beach there at sunset and there's all these rock formations out there, just off the surf. And it creates all these really cool silhouettes and shadows. The light, especially the lights, like kind of gold or, you know, that like pink color. It's just really incredible to go to. And there's, you know, obviously downtown Bandon is very close, but there's also a couple of hotels that are just like right there on the cliffs that are above the beach, where you can just walk down the road, go down some stairs, and boom, you're right there on the beach. You can explore some sea caves out there. I mean, it's just like such a spectacular spot.
Yeah, I cannot say enough about this beach or this stretch right here. At first, when I was there for Circles in the Sand, you know, I was focusing on the labyrinth and everything. And then I look out and I was like, oh my gosh, there is truly a face in Face Rock. So that was super cool to see. And then I just walked along the beach after Circles in the Sand. And kind of like all the rocks and just that jagged coastline there, super awesome. And the different wildlife and birds that are there as well. They really love their birds right around Face Rock. And they'll tell you all about them when you're there.
Oh, isn't there like a cool bird statue that's made out of recycled like beach debris?
Oh, I must have missed that.
There's a place in town that makes these big sculptures out of like plastics that they've taken from the ocean. I want to say there's one somewhere on Coquille Point as well. So, I mean, a really cool spot to explore. Even just if you don't want to do the beach, you can follow some trails up along the cliffs and do some bird watching. And there's some great, you know, informational signs and stuff up there. Such a cool spot.
Yeah. Ugh. All right. Where else on the South Coast do you love to go for the beach?
Okay. I wanted to shout out Flores Lake here. Really, really cool spot. This is sort of another sort of more adventure opportunity. You're not going to find any storefronts, any businesses, any big stuff here. As you sort of go down the coast, Flores Lake is between Bandon and Port Orford. It's kind of just on the north side of Cape Blanco. So if you know the Cape Blanco Lighthouse, this is on the north side of that. And, you know, you go to this little park called Boys Cope Park. And from there, you can hike along the edge of Flores Lake, which is one of these lakes that's kind of hemmed in by the dunes. And once you get out to the beach from there, you can walk south to some really, really cool formations. So, I mean, there's like some cool arch rocks. There's a waterfall at the end of it. Just some really cool cliffs. Just all kinds of cool stuff. So the scenery here is incredible. And when I went, at least, it was, you know, dead quiet. I was the only one out there. So you've got kind of this like sense of like lone adventurer walking beneath the cliffs on the beach through the arched rocks. It was very fantastical and very fun.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah, this is one that I have not been to. I think I must have just like probably just driven past during my trip on the South Coast, but this sounds incredible.
I did that for years. I drove past Flores Lake time and time again. I knew it was there even. I just like never took the opportunity to go out and check it out. But when I finally did a couple of years ago, I was kicking myself for not coming sooner because it was so, so gorgeous and so beautiful. It was one of those ones where I left and I was like, man, when can I come back? Just like driving my car away from the beach. I was like, God, I want to come back here again. This is so cool. And see the same stuff I literally just saw. It has a landscape that for me at least, stuck in me in that kind of way.
Yeah. We'll have to add this one to my South Coast list. But next up, we got Myers Beach.
Yeah, Myers Beach is another one that was, it was very new to me when I went and saw it. It was another one I kind of just drove by, because this is like one of the really scenic stretches of 101 is driving past these beaches. So I think, you know, folks, when they drive past, you kind of get stuck to just sort of looking at the scenery from your car, which is great. But I took the opportunity to sort of just get out and, you know, hang out at the beaches for a few hours. So Myers Beach is just south of Gold Beach, kind of between Gold Beach and once you get into the Boardman Corridor. There are like several different access points to get down there, which is really convenient. So if one's full, keep driving to the next one. And you can walk along the beach and see all these just, again, beautiful sea stacks and rock formations that are just off in the water. It's another great spot to sort of go and explore. If it's low tide, you can go see some sea stars or anemones. And if it's, you know, sunset, you can see some really good silhouettes. The one issue with Myers Beach is that there are like no amenities nearby. At least when I was there, no restrooms, no restaurants. This is a place where like if you need amenities, you know, take care of yourself before you get there, or just, you know, hang out there for a little bit. But just, again, walking down this beach, it was just, you know, scenery after scenery after scenery. Such a beautiful spot.
This is the part of the South Coast where it's honestly just an embarrassment of riches. It's like there's so many good beaches. I can't exactly even remember if I stopped at Myers Beach, just because I like all the names are just jumbled in my head because I was making so many stops along this stretch right here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this whole area, just stunning.
Yeah, I think Myers Beach gets overlooked because you like just as soon as you drive a little bit south from there, you're like basically in, you know, the scenic corridor there, the Boardman Corridor. And I think people make a beeline for that and overlook some of the beaches that are just right there. Pistol River is another beach that's just kind of like basically connected to Myers Beach. And again, you know, there's just so much there to see. You can't see it all. Is the thing, but definitely a spot to check out if you want to, you know, spend a little bit of time, get out of the car, stretch your legs for a minute. This is a great spot to do exactly that.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the Boardman Corridor, our last one here is probably one of the most standout stops within the Boardman Corridor, and that is Secret Beach.
Secret Beach, not much of a secret, admittedly, but it is so beautiful, isn't it, Vicky?
Yeah. Yeah, and this is one where rather than stopping at a pullout point and just being able to walk, you know, a few steps to see some great viewpoint, this is one where you are kind of hiking down quite a bit to see this beach.
Yeah, and there's two different places where you can technically hike down from there. And neither is very good. That's the only issue. So there's like a big pullout near Thunder Rock Cove and Natural Bridges. And from there, you can hike, you know, north down some trails. There's some signs that say this way to Secret Beach, but I would not recommend doing that. People do it and they can make it, but it's apparently a bit of a tough hike and it's really easy to get lost in there. That trail, at least last time I was there, was not very well maintained. So there is a second pullout where it's very easy to get to Secret Beach from there, but it's like this crazy pullout. You kind of have to like, you know, it's an unsigned pull off the side of 101. We have to like kind of drive alongside a guardrail and park. It's like muddy, pull out like beside the guardrail down a hill. Cars kind of just cram their way in there awkwardly. And from there though, it's a really nice and easy walk downhill to this viewpoint. It looks over Secret Beach. And from there, there's kind of a scramble down some rocks to get to the actual beach itself. So don't have to do that. It's a very nice viewpoint. Just look at it. Again, we're talking about like little islands, these coves. It's kind of right nestled against these big towering cliffs. really cool shapes of rocks and textures. And there's like a little sea cave that like it can't really get into very well, but like you can sort of see a spot that is great and best viewed at low tide. And the high tide gets in there because it's such a small beach and it's against the cliffs. It makes it pretty dangerous to visit. So this is one you want to go to at low tide, or even when the tide is like really far out in the summer, and you can see a little bit more and have a little more space to roam.
Yeah, this was one, you know, obviously it's not the most accessible. It is quite steep to get there, but I should say it's quite steep on the way back up to your car after you get there, because you're mostly going downhill. And yeah, I think I parked it like the more southern parking area and got turned around quite a bit, but then eventually made it to, you know, Secret Beach, and it was well worth all that time getting turned around. I just ended up like following people there. But it was incredible, and it ended up being, you know, kind of cloudy when I was there, but the huge rock formation in the middle, and then it's just really jaw-dropping as you walk out to that viewpoint without even having to go down to the beach. But yeah, then on the way back, I see people just kind of like beelining it uphill back to their car. And I'm like, where the heck was that parking lot? Because I surely took the long route.
Yeah, we have some articles in Oregon Live and Here's Oregon that show some of the specifics of like, here's the parking area, here's some directions to get there more easily. Vicky, it sounds like you did that more difficult one. I've never actually made it from that trailhead down to the beach. I've tried a couple of times. I always get turned around. I can never seem to find the right path. I almost did not include this beach in this podcast and also on the list because of these access issues. But it's so beautiful. It's almost criminal that it's not made more accessible, because it really is such a beautiful spot.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, it is one that truly is a highlight of the South Coast. And I'm sure many people have seen either videos or photos from this beach, because it's such a standout, you know, even throughout all of Oregon's beaches.
I mean, obviously so many here to choose from. That's our 10 for the day. But like, I mean, go to any beach and it's going to be beautiful. I mean, there's so many here on this list of 30, even that didn't even make that list, that I love. I mean, gosh, I was looking through here, Arizona Beach and Cape Arago is really great. The dunes. I mean, even talk about the beaches out of the dunes, you know, and all the jetties. So there's all kinds of great beaches. You know, I think, you know, especially when you're going down out there on spring break, when it can tend to be a little bit busy, if your first choice is too crowded, there's nowhere to park, just keep driving. Check out the next one. That's too crowded. Check out the next one. You kind of just can go and trust that all the beaches are going to be good for some reason, you know, they have something to offer, then you'll find something great. Because honestly, I've gone and done all these beaches, and they all have a special spot in my heart. They're all really just absolutely stunning, breathtaking. The Oregon coast as a whole is just, I think, worth going and exploring.
Use that spring break time, get out there and go to the coast, find your own top 10 beaches, and let us know what they are.
Absolutely. Folks, go enjoy that exploring. We're done exploring for today, though. So until next time, you can watch our videos on the Oregonian's YouTube channel and view all of our travel and outdoors coverage on oregonlive.com/travel, as well as hereisoregon.com.
Please leave us a rating or review if you enjoy the show. And if you want to support this podcast and our local journalism, please consider a subscription to Oregon Live. You can find details at oregonlive.com/podsupport. Also, if you're a fan of the show and you're interested in potentially sponsoring it, you can get in touch with our marketing people at advertise@oregonian.com. This episode of the show was produced by me, Vicky Connor, alongside Jamie Hale.
Stay safe and happy travels, everyone. Until next time, we leave you with this 10 seconds of Zen.